Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. While you're turning there, let me say this. You know, I don't have to tell anyone that we are living in very troublesome times, dark times. But folks, as I read my Bible, it's going to get worse. And I'm not trying to discourage anyone. Because listen, if you know the Lord, that should be encouraging to us. Because that means He's coming back soon. But things are going to get worse. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. I want you to pray with me that this message doesn't offend anyone. Because I'm not trying to offend. Every word that I say, I'm saying in love. In love for you, in love for my Lord, in love for my Father in heaven, in love for His Word. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to begin reading with verse 10. And we're going to read through verse 13. And the Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Stop right there just a moment and consider those words. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, Lord, I ask you to take control right now. I know, Father, of myself and by myself, Lord, I can do nothing and I am nothing. But God, you've given me a message that burns in my soul. And I pray, Father, that God, you would enable me to preach this. Not in my power, but in thy power. That God, Lord, each and every one of us might realize, God, what we're facing. And not only what we're facing, but Lord, what we need to do. So I pray, Lord, you take control. Lord, if there be one in this house that's lost, Lord, with all my being, I pray for that soul. I pray for that soul. That they might be saved today. And I pray, God, that we as Christians, Lord, will take heed to what you tell us here. And Lord, God, you might use us to withstand the evil one. God, have your way. Glorify thy Son. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray. Amen. I want to draw your attention to verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand, get this, in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I want to begin by making a rather solemn and frightful statement. Folks, the evil day mentioned in verse 13 is fast, fast approaching. If you'll look, beloved, through your spiritual eyes, you can see it. You can see it. You can see the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness of this world lining up to battle, beloved, to the death. To the death. You can hear. If you open your spiritual ears, Beloved, you can hear their cursings and dark sentences against God, against Christ, against His church, against you, Christian, against the family, against the family. You can hear the clatter of their weapons as they make ready. Weapons, beloved, like deceit and lies and terrible abominations. Like hatred and greed and malice and lust and depravity. Folks, an army of the most vicious demons that the dark chieftain of hell can conjure up are facing us. As far as the eye can see, beloved, they stretch before us. And they're determined. They're determined to kill and to destroy and to annihilate all that is righteous, all that is holy, all that is pure, all that is good. All that is good. Oh, listen. The evil day is coming. And we, the armies of the living God, the church of the great I Am, folks, we must understand that what Paul tells us in verse 13 is so important. We must withstand. Withstand. In other words, beloved, there's too much at stake for us to lose. There are souls at stake, so many who've never said yes to Jesus, beloved, and that they will spend eternity in torment if Satan has his way. There's our children. Our children. Beloved, their way of life, our way of life is at stake. There's our nation, a nation, beloved, that was founded by God and for God. Oh, listen, we must withstand. We must withstand. That's what we see through eyes of faith, folks. That's the reality. That's the reality of what we face. But when we look through eyes of flesh, we don't see the armies of demons, do we? We see people. We see people. We see people because it's people, beloved, whom Satan has deceived. It's people whom the devil, the demons control. It's people whom the late legions of hell work through, and they stand in opposition to us. But folks, they're just pawns. They're just pawns in the devil's hands. It's not them that we need to fear. It's not them that we need to hate. It's not them that we wrestle against. Not flesh and blood, Paul said, but the principalities and powers, the rulers of darkness in high places that we wrestle against. It's the demonic forces, beloved, behind them that we battle, though they appear to us to be people. To be people. Somebody says, preacher, how can we fight such powerful dark forces? Folks, we can fight them because, listen, we have the armor of God. Come on, amen. We have the armor of God. Our lives are girt with the truth, beloved. Excuse me, our loins are girt with the truth. We wear, beloved, the breastplate of righteousness that Jesus has given us. We wear on our feet the gospel of peace. We hold the shield of faith, beloved, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Somebody says, but preacher, we've had those things since we've been saved. And look, preacher, look how the enemy is advancing. What's wrong, preacher? What do we lack, preacher? Why? Why is the evil day approaching? Good question. Let me tell you why. And let me tell you what we must do, folks. First of all, we must stand. We must stand. Folks, three times in this short passage of Scripture, Paul tells us to stand. Listen, folks. Listen to what I'm about to say. Verse 11, Paul says, putting on the armor of God makes us able to stand. But friend, follow me now. If you don't stand after you have donned the armor, it does you no good. Not as far as keeping the enemy at bay. If you don't stand, the armor does you no good as far as keeping the enemy at bay. And Paul knew that. And that's why he said in verse 13, and having done all to stand. And the first two words in verse 14, stand therefore, stand therefore. Imagine two armies. One, beloved, is under the banner of the cross. Amen. Another, beloved, the other is under the banner of Babylon. The banner of unbelief and rebellion against God. The banner of Satan. The battle begins, beloved, as it did when the church was born. Oh, listen, the church was so outnumbered back then, beloved. They went forth with their armor on. And guess what? They stood in those times when, beloved, it was so dangerous. They stood and pushed back the devil's crowd. And souls were saved and lives were changed and God's army grew and grew. They stood for God. They stood for Christ. They stood for God's word. They stood, beloved, for righteousness and truth. Devil crowd said, well, we'll kill them. We'll kill them. And the great persecution began. Under Nero, under Domitian, under Hadrian, beloved. And thousands upon thousands were killed. But the church stood more firmly than ever. They stood until the gospel of righteousness spread over the world. You see, Satan could not stop them. He could not stop them. So in the 1800s, Satan tried a new tactic. He began, beloved, to attack the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Evolution was introduced that says God is not true. German rationalism came on the scene, beloved, denying the truths of God's precious Word. And what did the church do? Folks, so many capitulated. So many, beloved, didn't stand. And they began to retreat. And as time went on, many in the church, beloved, joined hands with the forces of opposition. They became liberal in their theology. No creation, no judgment, no hell, no virgin birth, they said. Hey, even no resurrection. Why don't you come to our church? And many kept going. Many, many mainline denominations and theological institutions, beloved, taught that the Bible was not the word or the inerrant, infallible word of Almighty God. And the church kept backing up. Oh, but thank God, some churches held to the truth. Some, beloved, stood against the enemy. But with the prosperity of the 50s and 60s and on, beloved, and the fact that true Christians were being outnumbered so much, they too, beloved, began to not stand. Oh, listen, they'd preach the word in their churches, and the people would all say, amen, amen. Jesus is God in a body of flesh. Amen. His word is inerrant and infallible. Amen. He hell is real and judgment is coming. Amen. He is the creator of all that is. Amen, preacher. We should live holy lives. Amen. Salvation is by grace through faith. Amen. There is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus. Amen. Oh, in the church walls, they all sang and they all said, amen. But when he came to the world out there, they were absolutely mum. They would not say a word. Not a word. They were silent when prayer, beloved, was taken out of our schools. They were silent, beloved, when abortion was legalized. They were silent, beloved, as one denomination after the other, great denominations, went liberal in their theology. They were silent. They were silent, beloved, when the nativity scenes were moved from town squares. They were silent, beloved, as pornography began, beloved, to just covered this nation. They were silent, beloved, as the nation turned toward homosexuality. They were silent when it became the law that they could marry. They were silent. Oh, they were vocal in the church, but at the job, and at the supermarket, and at the restaurants, and at the PTAs, and at the colleges and universities, in the communities, they would not stand. Come on, oh me or amen. They would not stand. Listen to me. Your armor is no good in keeping Satan at bay if you don't stand. If you don't stand, they'd go to the voting booth to elect our leaders. Did they think, beloved, about the candidates stand for the things of God? No. No. It was which one will help me? Which one will help my pocketbook? I'll never forget. I was working with a man. He was a Christian. Went to a Free Will Baptist church. If I called his name, a lot of you would know him. A lot of you older ones. We were working together, and there was an election coming up for president. And I don't remember when it was, but I know that one of the Bushes was running. And I've used this in here before, so this is not new to y'all. He started going to everybody we worked with, and he'd say something like this. He'd say, who you going to vote for? You're going to vote for Bush, ain't you? Just like that. And everybody said, oh, no, 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 I'm not going to vote for Bush. Then he finally got to me. He said, Rex, who you going to vote for? I bet you're going to vote for Bush. I said, you got that right. You got that right. He said, Rex, you mean you're going to vote for Bush? I said, I sure am. He said, what has Bush ever done for you? And I looked him in the face and I said, I don't vote for the one who does for me. I vote for the one who will leave me alone. Who will leave me alone. And I said, besides that, the man you're going to vote for is on the record as being pro-abortion, killing babies before they're born. I cannot vote for a man like that. But he was worried about his pocketbook. His pocketbook. Oh, my family has always voted for such and such a ticket. I remember when I was at Tippett Chapel, had a man, Free Will Baptist, good man. But boy, he'd tell you straight out, my granddaddy was a Democrat. My daddy was a Democrat. I'm a Democrat and I'll die a Democrat. Didn't matter what the Democrat stood for or the Republican. I'm this and I'm going to vote this way. And then a lot of Christians didn't vote at all. Didn't a lot of them ever even register to vote? They would not stand for God. They would not stand in the battle, beloved. Add to that, they wouldn't stand for souls. They wouldn't stand for souls. Preacher, get up and preach about hell. Pour his heart out. Preach about souls dying in torment. And tell the folks, if you don't tell them, they are going to perish. Would they do it? No. No. Oh, they'd amen. But they wouldn't do it. Well, I don't know what to say. Well, I don't want to offend anyone. Well, I want to be liked. I want to be popular. And what they're saying is, I won't stand for souls that Jesus died for. So now, churches are dying out. I don't know how many pastors I have talked to who have told me the same story. Preacher, we don't have any young people. Everyone we've got is on up in age. And I don't know what's going to happen to the church once they're gone, because churches are dying out. You see, the whole time the church, beloved, wasn't standing for souls, the world and the devil was going after them. Through the movies and TV and through the colleges and universities and through the government and the liberals. And they've been reaching souls for hell, beloved, while the church has been retreating. And so it's gone. In this nation and in the world, until now we can see the evil day approaching. We, beloved, are where we are because Christians have not stood for the things of God. For the things of God. Yeah. Oh, we got the armor of God. But armor does no good in keeping the enemy at bay if you don't stand. Suppose Stephen put on the armor, all this armor, to go out to battle. And it gets time for the battle and Stephen's missing in action. He's back yonder somewhere, playing basketball probably. What good is the armor? What good is the armor? Folks, that's what I'm trying to get across to you today. I'm telling you, it's time for we who have the armor of God to stand, folks. We are facing, listen, the ultimate battle in this country. The ultimate battle. Socialism, communism, Marxism, call it what you want to, threatens the land of the free. It threatens our whole way of life. Our whole way of life. The freedoms that our fathers and our mothers fought and sacrificed and suffered for are at stake. The way we worship, beloved, and bring our children up is at stake. The Constitution that this nation was founded on is at stake. Is at stake. I hope I don't offend anybody. If a certain party gains power, listen to me. They will never give it up. They will never give it up. Many of them are avowed socialists, beloved. And you show me any country that has gone socialist that freely, peacefully gives up power once they got it. You can't find one. You can't find one. I'm convinced if that happens in America, beloved, the church, listen to me, the church will eventually have to go underground in America. That means we won't be meeting in this nice building. We'll be meeting in the woods somewhere. Or we'll be meeting at somebody's house in secret to come together and fellowship and study and preach the word. It's time we started shouting the truth of God from the rooftops. It's time we started standing for God, standing for the gospel, standing for the word of God, standing for the freedoms that we enjoy. We got in this mess because we did not stand. We will only get out of it when we, the church, repents of our sin, turns back to our God, and stand for Him. And stand for Him. But there's another thing that we must do while we stand. Folks, we must pray. Look with me in verse 18. Verse 18. Paul gives us, beloved, the armor. He tells us what it is. He tells us to stand. But look at verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Get this. In the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Paul begins by explaining who or what we are up against. And folks, it is the devil and all his demonic forces. And then he tells us, beloved, to put on the whole armor of God so we will be able to withstand against them. And then he emphatically tells us to stand, to stand, to stand. And he closes out with another essential. Pray. Pray. Folks, here again, the church, in my opinion, has failed. We have failed. Not only have we failed to stand, but we have failed to pray. To pray. Paul began this discourse with an admonition in verse 10. He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You know what that tells me? It tells me that we can't fight this battle in our own mind, in our own power. We have got to have the power of God, beloved. The enemy we face is too great. He is too strong. We're facing, beloved, principalities and powers, rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Folks, this is a supernatural foe that we face. This is Satan and his hordes. And we cannot do it in our own power. Oh, how we need the power of God. We need the power that created this world, The power that hung the stars in the sky. The power, beloved, that formed the mountains and the valleys. We need the power that caused the sun to stand still in Joshua's day. That defeated Pharaoh's army at the Red Sea. The power, beloved, that brought down the mighty walls of Jericho. We need the power that protected three Hebrew children in a fiery furnace. The power, beloved, that shut the lion's mouths for Daniel. That allowed Peter to walk on the water. That fed 5,000 with a few fish and a few loaves. We need the power, beloved, that raised our Lord and Savior from the dead, that cast out demons with the sound of His voice. And the only way we can have that power is to pray. To pray to God in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Tell me. How much have you prayed for this election? How much time? Have you spent as much time praying for this election as you have spent on Facebook? Or watching TV? How much have you prayed for this country? How much have you prayed, beloved, for souls that are dying, who are lost and dying and going to hell? How much have you prayed for these churches that are struggling to keep their doors open? How much have you prayed for revival in America? I mean, heaven-sent Holy Ghost revival and a turning back to God. How much have you prayed? Folks, with all that's at stake, how much have we prayed? And then ask yourself this, how much have I prayed in the Spirit? In the Spirit. What does that mean, praying in the Spirit? Folks, it's praying with a burdened heart. It's praying, beloved, earnestly and fervently. It's allowing the Spirit of God that lives in you to pray through you, beloved. It's not saying, now I lay me down to sleep. I've said my prayers. I'm through. Folks, it's a prayer where all your heart and all your being is focused on the God that you pray to and the need that you pray for. How much have we prayed like that about what we are facing? Let me tell you, if ever we should, It's now. Oh, listen. We can't do it without that kind of praying. That kind of praying. As I look at what we are facing, as I consider, beloved, the enemy that's before us, I realize more and more the only way to overcome is to check our armor and be sure that we're clothed in the armor of God. And to stand, not retreat, but stand, not be silent, but stand and pray. Pray earnestly, fervently, in the Spirit, that we might be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And if we withstand the enemy, that's how we will do it. I want you to stand with me. As you close your eyes of flesh, I asked you to open your eyes of faith. Can you see, folks? Can you see the hideous hordes that stand against us? Can you see the evil and the wickedness that saturates their being? And know that their aim is to kill and destroy all you and I hold dear. Can you see the evil day is approaching? Are you ready, Christian? Do you have on your armor? Are you willing now to stand? Are you willing now to pray? Are you willing? You know, we can do one or two things. We can forget this message. Say, oh, well, nice message. And go on like we were before. Our beloved, we can see through eyes of faith what's standing against us and what's at stake. And we can come and fall on our faces before God and say, God, I will stand. I will stand. I will stand. I'll stand until you take me home. I will stand. And I will pray with all my being in the Spirit, that I might have the power and the mind of God, that this thing, this terrible thing, not come upon myself and my family and my church and my nation. It's up to each one of us. It's up to you. If you're here today and you're not saved, I beseech you to come to Christ and get on God's side. And if you are saved, I beseech you, Christian, let's stand. Let's pray. Father, have your way right now in every heart. In Jesus Christ's name, help us to stand. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Won't you come? 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 Come with these that have already come. Won't you come? If you don't know Him as Lord and Savior, won't you receive Him today? Won't you do that? Won't you come?